January 1st, 1998. I am Jocelyn Tang, a volunteer interviewer for the Germans from Russia Heritage Collection, North Dakota State University Libraries at Fargo, North Dakota. It is a pleasure to visit with Sister Joan Nuss, and we are here at Richardton at the Sacred Heart Monastery. And Sister Joan, I'm going to ask you a few questions about your family history. If you are aware of what villages your ancestors came from in Russia? Okay. We believe they came from the colony of München in the state of Kherson County in South Russia, and the county of, I'll spell it, A-N-A-N-J-A-W. Now, did both sets of your parents come from here, or grandparents?
They both came from Russia, but my mother, I guess, at a different place in Russia.
I'll read through this information.
Okay. And Sister Joan, you were born here in...
I was born here.
Okay. When were you born? What is your date of birth?
November the 22nd.
Okay.
1917.
And your parents, were they born in America or in Russia?
No, they were both born in Russia.
In Russia. Yes. And they, how old were they when they came to America?
Well, my mother was 19. She came over accidental. Her brother was supposed to come, but then he got called into service, so mm-hmm. we had to go to war.
Oh.
And they told my mother to go on Emanuel Warner's name. Mm-hmm. And they had hard time when they were on the ship. They thought it was a man. She said, no, I'm a girl. Well, you got a man's name. She said, I can't help it. They baptized me a bit, but they told her to go by that name or else she wouldn't make it. She had a hard time on the ship.
What happened to her on the ship?
They were going to put her in where the other guys were, the men, you know, in that department.
Mm-hmm.
And she kept, they had told her, be sure you go and by that name and don't change it, or else she would be sent back. But she made it across. And then when she came to Dickinson here, that would be her brother-in-law, Mr. Mitchell, he went down to pick her up on the train and brought her home to my aunt's house, Rosella Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, you visit for a while and I go out and get a hole and put it on in the stove so it's warm. He wouldn't tell them who they were. He didn't introduce them. By the time he came in, they had each other around the neck and they were both crying. Like
they were kids. Sisters?
They were sisters. And he never told them that he...
Oh my gosh.
That was a shock to my aunt.
Oh, I'm sure. So how did she get from New York to here?
That I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't know.
And then your father came... How old was he when he came to America?
I don't remember, but he was only early 50, I guess, or 49 years old when he died here.
Mm-hmm.
So, and my mother only got married after she was over here. I don't exactly know.
Mm-hmm.
He was here longer before my mother was in the States.
Okay. And let's see, where are your parents buried?
My dad is buried in Dickinson, and my mother is buried in Dickinson. We went to the farm, we belonged to Sheffield, had a lot out there, mm-hmm. and they resold it, and they mm-hmm. went to Dickinson Cemetery, St. Joseph Cemetery.
Mm-hmm. Are there iron crosses on their graves?
I don't know, not iron, but concrete or something. There is.
Are they the crosses, those old German from Russian type cross grave markers?
No, they have this concrete in the floor a little bigger than this, you know, mm-hmm. with their names on.
Okay.
Because they had to get rid of the cross, they couldn't cut the grass, they were in the way.
Oh, they made them take them down.
Yeah, so they can go right over with their lawnmower.
Right. Okay. How many brothers and sisters did you have in your family?
There were 12 of us, and 3 died as infants. Sebastian, Frankie, and Francis. No, he was about 12 years old.
What did he die from?
Flu. That was a real bad flu, and he didn't
No, when a child died, did they have like a wake or a, did they keep the body in the house then before the funeral?
They kept the body, I guess, in the house. Mm-hmm. My dad was in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And my little brother was in the house.
Mm-hmm. And you remember your little brother?
I remember just, he was only 3 days old when he got buried.
Oh, wow. So from the time he was, after he was born, and then he died immediately after birth, or he died when he was 3 days old?
I don't know how long after he was born.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have any memories of what your parents or aunts or uncles told you about living in the old country, living in Russia?
Well, not too much, because when my mother was only about 3 months old when her mother died. She died that it was due to childbirth when she was born. So it wasn't very long and she was adopted out.
Your mother?
My mother was adopted out. She was a...
Over in Russia. She was adopted out.
Yeah,
okay.
Right. And then it was about a year and a half afterwards her father died over there. That's all I remember them saying.
Okay. Okay, Sister Joan, I'm going to ask you some questions now about your religious life and why you decided to become a nun and who and what influenced you. Growing up, can you remember any particular religious customs practiced in your home? Like, did you have a God's Corner or
yes,
like the rosary? Can you tell me any of your memories concerning that?
Mm-hmm. We had a God's Corner. Mm-hmm. And it was all my mother's pride to set that up. Every Saturday, everything and all, she had artificial flowers on there, homemade. Real pretty. They had tin cans and they opened them up on the top and they cut slits in them all the way around. Then they make the flower and put it in one of the slits and they bend the flower open, and it was just like real flowers on that little altar, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was big, high, steps up, you know, beautiful. And it was her pride always to fix it up. And of course, we mm-hmm. always said, usually said, especially during Lent, we always said the rosary all together. My dad usually led it. It was all in German those years.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when I entered the convent, I couldn't hardly pray in English, you know.
Sure.
Everything was German.
Now, do you think that over in Russia, do they have these little God's Corners?
I'm sure that's where they got it from.
Your mother never said anything if she had that when she was growing up?
She never said, maybe not as big, maybe just a little table with a statue on it, maybe two little bouquet of flowers, if they had any homemade flowers like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So a lot of your praying was done in German?
In German.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you remember celebrating feast days or holy days or
yes.
name days? What could you tell me about holy days?
Holy days were always holy to us. Easter, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday were all free, just like Easter Sunday. They were kept holy. Went to church on those days. I don't know if that was a custom over there, that they brought it here or not, but those were three holy days. And then name days, my dad's name was Stephen, and I had two brother Johns, you know, Frank and Ernest, you know, two brother Johns. We kept them holy too. Christmas was a big day, Christmas Day. Then St. Stephen Day was my dad's. Then St. John was my brother John. John wasn't always home, but we kept the day holy anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What, do you remember special customs you did on Christmas or special food that maybe they did over in Russia and then they did it here too?
Well, they didn't have so much food at that time that I remember. It was in the 30s, you know. It was kind of poor. We didn't have much, like, we lived on potatoes and meat and potatoes, you know. We seldom had dessert or anything, you know,
mm-hmm.
because we had no deep freeze or anything. We had a butcher as we needed it.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Right.
One time they were out of meat and Dad said, boys, we slaughtered the calf out there, because there's no one. Oh, he said, we have the skin. Then the inspectors were supposed to come. Then the boys said, should we hide the skin? My dad said, no, leave it right there. If they ask us why we butcher it, I've got to ask it permission to butcher it. It was real bad there for a while in the 30s. Oh, yes. He said, if they ask me why we butchered it without asking them, we tell them there was nothing to eat in the house.
Mm-hmm.
That's how honest my dad was.
Mm-hmm.
So they left it there, but they came there, but they never asked.
At what age did you enter the religious life?
23.
23? Okay. And what, did somebody influence you? You know, a particular person or an event?
A teacher. A sister.
Mm-hmm.
I liked her so much. She died a few years ago. There were two sisters, but especially the one, Sister Gevensia from Annunciation Priory from Bismarck.
Mm-hmm.
She was always so good and so kind that I wanted to go for a sister.
Mm-hmm.
When we were small, we always had dish towels over our heads.
Oh.
And we'd have mass little sherbet dishes for chalices and have a Christmas bell. And then we had those white wafers that come in a package like this. We used this for communion hosts.
Oh.
We were always playing sister.
Okay. So, and your family was encouraged you to be a nun. I mean, they didn't.
They said, it's your choice. You do what you want. My stepdad said, sister, if you don't like it, you're always welcome back. This is your home as long as I live.
Mm-hmm.
They said, do what you feel, what you want.
Mm-hmm.
They never asked, told anybody they should go or not.
And where did you go then to be a nun?
Garrison.
To Garrison?
Mm-hmm. And my two sisters didn't know about Garrison. They went to Rogers. Of course, we all worked down there. And Sister Florentia had relatives down there that were sisters about, I think, three or four of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they entered there.
Mm-hmm. And then, were you able to go home on vacation?
Once a year we went home.
Once a year.
Right. Oh, as a sister?
Yes.
Every 3 years. Every 3 years, but now we go every year.
Mm-hmm. And could your family come and visit you here?
Well, they were dead before we ever moved here.
Oh, okay.
But could your family visit
you?
No,
visit
you,
yeah, or in Garrison. When you were a young nun. Could they come and see you?
The years were poor. They couldn't make it. They couldn't make it that day. He only came for my reception. It was whom? My dad and my brother and my sister-in-law and my stepbrother. They came down for my profession or reception. But it wasn't.
When you became a...
When I became a nun, only my mother came down and my brother.
Mm-hmm.
But when I, later on, when I got the ring...
And how old are you when you get the ring? Or how many years do you have to be in training?
Those years we have five, but I think they got more now.
Okay.
Depends.
And then there, you had a reception.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the ring at St. Leo's in Minot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I celebrate my silver jubilee.
Mm-hmm.
Or at the Abbey.
Mm-hmm.
And my golden jubilee, I celebrated at the Mother House. It was the first time I celebrated something at home in the convent.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I always had a good St. Nicholas or parish.
Now, when you first went off to be a nun, were you able to write letters to your family? Could they write to you?
I think once a month we were able to write. But now you write whenever you want.
Mm-hmm. But back then it was once a month?
And they opened our letters that time.
Oh, they did.
But now they don't.
Mm.
Was it hard for you not to see your family?
Yeah, I was attached to my mother, especially after Dad died, you know. I had no dad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're talking now about when Sister Joan went to sister school as a young girl.
I went to St. Joseph's School in Dickinson. And I was in the first grade, and there was one sister there, she was very hard on me. I used to get slaps. Then in second grade, it was worse. I got slaps right and left on the ears when I put the long division on the blackboard and had the wrong name, had the wrong number on the board, and I had one on the left side, one on the right, and then I had earache for many, many years until I finally went out to Sheffield School, a public school. The teacher, her fairly nice there, at least I wasn't little, and I really hated sister school, and I do to this day. But I know there are a lot of good sisters now, and they can't hit the pupils like I was.
Mm-hmm. Did your parents do anything when they found out that you were disciplined like that?
No, we never told my parents. They were up in years already, you know, they were in the middle, close to 50 already. Why should we torture them with them? We tell our sisters and brothers at home, you know. And they said, you just got a beard, you know, there's another place in heaven for us. So then I went to Rochester to work, and then when I wanted to go for a sister, I said to my dad, I'm not going to sister school. I would like to go to the public school. The other five had a drive to sister school, and they had a room up there, and I didn't want a room up there. Then I told my mother. My mother said, I'm not the boss. You have to go and tell dad. So I told my dad. And he said, well, he said, I'll let you go up there if Francis goes with you to walk to public school, but I will not let you walk alone, because there were me animals in the pastures, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked Frances, of course she's a sister today too, if she would walk with me to public school and back. And she said yes. So she and I went to public school. And then I went to joined the sisters at Garrison. And I went on the zoo to, like, on the train zoo. And I went to Garrison, and I stayed at St. Aidan, St. Regis Hospital overnight to catch the train the next morning real early. And sister said she would call me when it's time. And she forgot. She came in, she said, Mary Eva, she said, I forgot to call you. Why don't you get up real fast? I'll have coffee down ready for you. You have to hurry to get over to the zoo. So I went downstairs and had my coffee, grabbed my bag, and I went over to the zoo, and I forgot to check my trunk. So the man stopped the train. I heard him, and he was going. He stopped. They left me on. I didn't check nothing, my trunk. And I got to Garrison, and I didn't go off. I was sound asleep. Oh, it was early in the morning. And Sister Barbara Ann was down the depot to meet me. She walked down. The rest of the sisters were in church already at Garrison. And she said to the conductor, isn't there a girl in there? She's supposed to come to the convent. He said, no, there's just one little one in there sleeping. I was 17 years old, you know.
Aww.
I was small for my age, you know, and it was about 105 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, I'll check with her, see if it's her. So he went in and tapped me on the shoulder. He said, are you going for a sister? I said, yes, but not until I get to Garrison. He said, this is Garrison. There's a lady waiting out there. That was Sister Barbara Ann. She went off the train. She said, are you going for a sister? She wanted to be sure it was me. And I said, yes. Well, she said, come and follow me. And then I got scared. I thought I was going to follow the Lord, but not her.
So you were 17 when you went to be a nun? I thought you were 23.
Gosh, I forgot. That was when I entered. That was when I went.
You went to entered at 17?
No, I went to work at St. Mary's Hospital in Rochester. That's what I did at 17.
Okay.
I stayed there till I was 23. Then I entered the went home and I entered the convent at Garrison.
Okay, I understand.
I got a mistake there.
That's okay. Do you remember that anti-garb legislation?
Yes, I remember that well.
What do you remember about it?
Well, all I remember is I was at Bismarck at the time, and I was not a sister yet. Yes, I was already. And we had one man there, he was not a Catholic. And they had that thing so twisted in the Catholic, you know, in the paper, how you're supposed to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of for the sisters to take the garbs off, he voted for the good thing, but he didn't want to. He wanted to vote opposite, but he didn't know it until mm-hmm. after the answers came, till after the doings. But I felt kind of bad, you know. I really liked the long garb and our gims we had, those pleated coils. I really liked those yet.
Mm-hmm.
And those years I never heard anybody leaving either like nowadays.
Mm-hmm. So you, were you teaching in a public school at that time?
Oh no, I'm not a teacher. I didn't have no schooling. Just 8th grade.
Oh, okay. So you never had to give up your garb?
No, I never had to give up mine.
I understand.
Some of our sisters did, and there were some older sisters that did.
Mm-hmm.
I admired them. They took it real nice. I was surprised.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sister Joan, I'm going to ask you about some Christmas customs. Can you tell me what Belzenickel is?
Yes, and Grishkill too, we have.
Yes.
The Belzenickel was a man. He was dressed in like a fur coat, long hair, you know, and tied a tight belt around with a strap down. And they came to your house, and if they say you weren't good, you got licked, you know.
You got, with what?
They got licked with a, he had a strap, a rima, you know, he had down on his side, and he would lick them. Over in the old country, they had one which my mother told us about, the Belzenickel, when we first learned. And it's in my mind all the time when I hear that word, I think of that story.
What is it?
Well, there was a couple there, and they had a boy and a girl, 14 and 15. They didn't pay their parents too much, you know. They were always one ahead of them, you know. And so one time the Belzenickel came there, and he asked, How are your children? And they said, well, they don't obey us anymore. We don't know what to do with them. We cannot handle them. And he said, and the dad said, take them out. Take them away. We're fed up with them. So the Belzenickel took this boy and girl out, never brought them back. Then the parents, after midnight, went out search. Nobody could find them. No place. He had murdered both of them over by the barn. Cut their heads off. Since that time, I don't like the Belzenickel. And the Christ child was good. She was dressed in white. She had a veil on and feet. And she would bring us, we'd get a little package from her for Christmas, you know.
Mm-hmm. So the Christ child was a girl, a female figure?
A female, mm-hmm.
Okay.
But this was a male.
This was, and that story your mother told you was a story she got that, from Russia.
Russia, that's a true story.
Okay.
That's a true story.
Hmm. And the Christ Kindle was a female figure and...
dressed in white and a veil. And she had a wreath.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when Christmas came and these people came to your door, were you afraid?
Not when the Christ child came, but we never had him. But we had a neighbor man who dressed up as a Belzenickel. He came to our house on the farm, you know, was during depression too. He had called, I guess my parents or my brother, whoever it was, if he can come over on that night to see us, you know. And the man who dressed up, when we heard about it, we didn't like him. So we all ran and hid. Some went in the clothes closet way up on top. Some went down to the root cellar. And some went on those beds that we had folding, you know, folding beds. They opened the beds too late in there and they rolled them up, you know. We all hid. He didn't find one. We were really glad.
We were so frightened of him.
I think that's why we hid too.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any special Easter activities?
Yes. At Easter time, we always got new hats and shoes. And we didn't have nothing else. We took our shoebox and make the little Easter basket nest right by our bed. And we had some eggs and candy in there.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have much, but always something, you know.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember anything called Yurlesen? Egg roll? Arlesen? No? Okay. Were there special religious activities at Christmas or Easter, like you went to church?
Yes,
you
we
said,
did.
And church was, the mass was in German?
I think it was Latin, wasn't it? I don't think they had it German.
Oh,
Latin.
It was in Latin.
It was Latin, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Which member of your family do you remember best?
Which one? I remember them all because I pray for them every day. I have them all in my mind all the time.
Okay.
My mother.
Mm-hmm. Who do you look up to or admire for portraying life's best qualities?
I don't get that.
Out of all your, when you think of your family values, who do you think instilled in you your family values, or who do you think portrayed what's best in life?
I think my sister Pauline.
Okay. Why?
Because we are very close together. We always write to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Real often. Often.
Mm-hmm. Do you write in German?
No, I forgot my German. I took 2 years of German, and I after went to the convent, I didn't read German anymore. And then my dad would always write us three sisters German letter for Christmas every year, but I couldn't read them anymore. So I asked Father Stan Sticka. He always read them for me, because
mm-hmm.
I couldn't write the script. I could read some of the print, but I couldn't write. I couldn't read the written. Mm-hmm. You know.
So growing up, did you speak German or English?
We spoke German most of the time until the end of the convent.
Okay.
Because our parents did not understand English. They understood very little, but they could not talk English.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think Dad maybe did a little, very little.
Mm-hmm. So in closing, is there any important observation you want to share with us about growing up as a member of the German from Russia ethnic group?
Well, the older ones, they'd come to our house and they would always play cards. Sundays, certain feast day or holiday, they'd always come to our house and play cards. And certain times, my parents would go up to their place. Of course, then the older ones were in one room, the young ones went to another room. We never were together, because they play cards at their fun, we play cards and had our fun,
mm-hmm.
you know.
What kind of cards did you play?
Well, they played whist, and then they played soa. And I forgot how it goes, and I cannot play it. My brother, I asked my brothers, we just don't know.
Mm-hmm. Is it a game you played when you were growing up?
Well, yes, mm-hmm. but we didn't get it to know well enough to remember even when our folks died, we didn't know.
Mm-hmm. And what is it called?
Sola.
Sola?
Sola, Frau und Wichter. They bit on those three O's.
Oh.
And I don't know how to play it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you.
What?
Oh, yes, I know. Do you recall any experiences with midwives? Do you remember your mother having to go to a midwife to have her babies, or any stories about midwives?
My mother did.
She was a midwife?
Well, she wasn't one, but she went to some.
Okay.
She was called.
Do you remember if they paid the midwives?
Not that I wouldn't know.
Uh-huh.
They were neighbors, friends. I doubt if she got any pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they were, the little baby was born, it was sick, they always called my mother up and asked what to do. Not always, but a lot of times they called her up what to do.
What would your mother advise?
Well, she would tell them.
Like what kinds of things to do? Was it like a folk medicine, or?
See, won't you? Well, one time the neighbors called us up, they had a little boy. And he couldn't pass his water, so he called my mother what to do. So my mother said, you take a raw egg, you break it open, you take the skin from one end of the egg and put it over his little penis. And then later on, he passed his water. They had no further problem. That's the medicine they used those days.
Can you think of any other advice your mother might have given?
That's the only thing I remember, because I was over at my brother's place for over 3 years. And when I heard you were going to adopt me, then I went home.
Oh.
I missed out of a lot.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Okay.